This is Community in Conversation with Kathy Kayla, starting conversations that matter.
Good morning, I'm Kathy Kayla. Thank you for joining me for this Community in Conversation. I've titled this week's program, Goodbye and Hello, a South African Kashrut update. Last year, October was a huge wake-up call for our community when it emerged through Chayefem that the UOS, the Union of Orthodox Synagogues, was being mismanaged, that the Kashrut Department had increased its kosher certification fees to factories by 600%, and that staff were being retrenched while top managers, rabbis, the director of Kashrut, and the chief rabbi didn't even take salary cuts. Today, this show isn't about that, but it is about Kashrut. During the UOS debacle, I made contact with many good, hard-working, and honest people. One of them was Rabbi Yossi Baumgarten, a kosher inspector who worked for the UOS for 41 years. Rabbi Baumgarten has now left the UOS Kashrut Department. Coming up, I will be chatting to Rabbi Yossi Baumgarten about the past, the present, and the future. I also have a surprise for him because I reached out to the Mashgichim, the kosher supervisors at the UOS, to send him their personal messages. After that, I want to find out a bit more about the MK Heksher, so I will be speaking to Rabbi Saul Emanuel, director of MK Global Kosher Certification. Finally, I took to the streets to get a sense of what your feelings are about a new Heksher in South Africa. The responses were very telling. It's a very full program this morning, so let's get started right away.
This is Community in Conversation with Kathy Kayla, starting conversations that matter.
Rabbi Yossi Baumgarten, welcome. Why did you become a Kashrut supervisor?
Why did I become a Kashrut supervisor? Well, it goes back to, I think the year was 1980. I had come in 1977 to be the rabbi of the Victory Park Shul. That was the Rebbe, Lubavitch Rebbe sent me for that. And then me and some other young rabbis had a shiur with Rabbi Kustag, who wasn't yet the Rosh Beth, who was just one of the Dayonim, on practical rabbinical halachas. At that time, the Kashrut standard of at South Africa was very, very low. And we, in our shiurim, used to ask a lot of questions and complain a lot. He got very upset, and one day he said, you know, all you guys do is complain. Why don't you do something constructive? I said, like what? So he said, well, go inspect the factory for us. I said, okay. So I went, and I inspected a factory, which I had never done before. But it's something that you either have the knack or you don't. And I made a report, and he said, thank you very much. Would you do it again? I said, yes. I was teaching at that time half a day at the Torah Academy. It wasn't called Torah Academy at those days, something else. And so I had a half a day in the afternoon. So I then started inspecting factories on a regular basis for about 2-3 years. And at that time, I don't know if you remember, the one who was in charge of everything was a Rabbi Shimonovitz. And he retired. And once, when he retired, they offered me the whole caboodle. So I wrote to the Lubavitcher Rebbe again, and he said to me, I should take the job, which I did. And in the next 30 years, I was with the Rebbe's blessing. He gave a blessing to me and to Kashrut in South Africa. I was able to raise the standards to one of the highest levels. And that's how I got involved in Kashrut, because the Rebbe channeled me into it, and that's what I've been doing for 30 years.
What do inspectors do?
Well, when I do an initial inspection of a factory, the first thing and the most important thing is to check the storeroom, because all the secrets you find in the storeroom, so you have to go through every single ingredient, raw material that is in there, and to check if it meets, if it's a kosher one, If it has a certificate and certified, etc., I have to go through it. And it's a long process, but one has to do it. And whatever is not acceptable has to be removed. And what if there are questions, one goes back to the office, and the secretaries start getting contacting the particular companies to find the answers. And once we've done that, then comes the next part, is to see the whole production outline and plan. There are many different type of factories. You can have one production line or many of them. And one has to find out exactly what products they make, and if they're all, whether it's parv or dairy, or if there's beet or kosher, non-kosher. And one has to ascertain all of these things and go through it all. And although that there are sometimes we give, they used to give supervision to like a hotel, for instance. Hotel would have milchik, fleishik, and parv. But generally, when they gave certification to a restaurant, it would never be both. It would be either milk parv or meat parv. Because to have in a restaurant, it would be more difficult to control and all that. And of course, my job was to inspect the place to see how it can work and function according to kosher rules and regulations, and to see if they have the proper equipment and enough of it to do the job of running a kosher establishment. And of course, then comes the part of having a mashkiach, which is a supervisor, a kosher supervisor, which has to go through a training process by the UOS and the Beth Din. And then they sign an agreement between the UOS and the establishment. Then they start functioning. That's what kosher certification is all about.
Are you ever asked to sign non-disclosure agreements with the companies because they might be using ingredients or methods?
Yes, sometimes yes. Yes. It's not all of them, but some of them, yes.
What do you consider one of your greatest accomplishments in terms of kashering a facility?
Kashering a facility? Greatest accomplishment? Let me think about it. Well, let me put it this way. There used to be a company, well, there is a company called The Mushrooms. Mushrooms, yes. When it first started many, many years ago, it was a little house in Weinberg before it became very, very big. And when I went to see it the first time, and you see at that time people were saying mushrooms and brine is no problem, because if you read the ingredients, you see brine means salt water, and that's it. What could be wrong about it? And when I went to see this factory at that time, on the same line, and only had one line, they used to make mushrooms and brine, and also mushrooms in a chasseur sauce. And what compromises chasseur sauce was meat powder and milk powder and wine, all that. It could not be more trife. So, of course, we could not allow that. And that's what's when they moved to a new place and put in new equipment. And then they had a very, very nice setup where different lines. And if they made anything dairy, they had a separate line, which did not contaminate the other ones. So that was one of the nice things, that we were able to fully certify company mushrooms that was problematic at first. And what else was there? Oh, I remember when I started with Kellogg, we approached Kellogg's to go kosher, and we explained it very well, and we did it. It took a while, but the funny thing is, the one who was in charge of it said he had never heard of kosher before, but after explaining it all that, he thought it was a good idea. And then he said to me, what about Kellogg's overseas? Now, I did not know at the time, so I said, they must be kosher. And I found out that wasn't true. And what happened was, because Kellogg's became kosher in South Africa, it became kosher in America as well. Because
that's
of
incredible.
Us. In fact, when they first started, you know that red K for Kellogg's?
Yes.
So when they first went kosher, they put that red K, and with another K, Kellogg's now K kosher.
Oh, lovely. That's very clever.
That's right. So that, you know, I was involved with all of these things. So it was very exciting to see the different companies that would become kosher and all that. I'll tell you another thing that happened, that how Hashem works with people who work in kashrut. I came for an inspection for Cadbury's chocolate in East London. And I came unannounced, unexpected, because that's how we would do inspections. One of the main ingredients in chocolate is an emulsifier. An emulsifier is what keeps the fat content and the water content together, not separating. And it comes from a company in Holland. which we know very well and has a very nice kosher certification from the Holland Kosher Department there with a very colorful sticker on it. And when I arrived that day, they had just received a order of 200 drums. Each drum is about 210 liters of this emulsifier. So I went over to it to just to, as a cursory thing to see the hefsher on it. And I went to the first barrel and looked for it. I couldn't see. I asked to turn it around because it's heavy. And there was no sticker on it. So I thought, oh, let's, you know, one barrel can miss it. And then I went one after the other and I couldn't find any of it. When we investigated, they sent the wrong order. So they had to call the company who had to uplift and bring the correct one. Now, this is where Hashem's hand comes in, because had I came 2 weeks later and I would have gone into the storeroom, which I normally do as an inspection, I would have found it there. And I would have found it that it's not the kosher one. So now we'd have to work out what about old stocks and so on and so forth, what to do, what to know. It would have been a whole fiasco. So with Hashem's help, I happened to arrive at that time and found it there, and they were able to uplift and do it again. Another thing is when I started the whole kosher operation, do you remember the TAC, the Transvaal Automobile Club?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so that's right. So they had, at the time, two kitchens, a kosher kitchen and a non-kosher kitchen. And between the two kitchens, there was a roller shutter gate that separated them. And because I was a new kid on the block, so all the committee came, about 14 or 15 of them all came to, you know, welcoming me to the new position that I had. And the roller shutter gate did not come down to the floor because there was a problem, it was broken. And I took a look at it. And I said to the guy who was taking us around, I said, I am not happy. So this individual, the chairman, says with all the sarcasm he can put into his voice, and he said, Rabbi, do you think somebody will stick something underneath the fence? So I had 10 seconds to answer that question or say, that's our rule and that's the way it is. But I wanted to give something more. So as the seconds were ticking off, I said, Hashem, I need your help here. Please, I need your help. This is all silent. And just about 10 seconds passed when one of the workers on the other side of the fence stuck a plate underneath the fence into the kitchen. And they didn't say a word. They just looked shocked. And cost them a lot of money to fix it up, but we got it fixed up. So there's all kinds of interesting things that happen in the kosher game.
You clearly work with a fear of heaven.
Absolutely, absolutely.
How often do you think about the huge responsibility that you carry because you are doing kashrut on an industrial scale?
Well, basically, every time I go on inspection, I think about it because it's an ongoing thing, you know, and you could go to one factory where everything's 100%, and sometimes you go again and something happens and then you have to fix it up and see what the problem is. So it's not something that is just, it being that it's good five times, the sixth time it'll be good as well. Anything can happen because what happens is that the most of the time the problem is where in a big factory, you have somebody who's in charge of ingredients, a certain person. Now he gets a call from a company that gives him a special deal. If you take 1,000 kilos of this thing, you'll get a special deal. So he thinks, oh, well, I'll save the company money. Now he forgets about to make sure that it is kosher certified. And if he brings it in, I will pick it up on my inspection. And then we have a problem. And these are the things that go on all the time. So therefore, the whole concept of inspecting kashrut that way is that it's constant. There's always something that you have to look at and worry about and find because things can change every single day because it's a situation where there's constantly changing ingredients, new companies, new things happening all the time. And it's never something relaxed and that's the way it doesn't. There's something always that can happen.
How many products have you had to recall in your time as the kosher supervisor? Is that something that happens quite often?
Not often, but I would say it happens, let's say, once every 6-7 months. And where sometimes we have to recall things, sometimes we can rely on what we call bittul nullification, because halacha has a concept of bittul. There's all kinds of nullification, one in 60, one in 1,000, a majority, all that. So we always get the dayanim involved in working out these things to see what we can do to make sure that we can make it easier for the company. But sometimes a problem is a problem, and they have to get rid of a lot of things. You know, it's not that often, but it can happen.
Rabbi Baumgarten, you have worked for the EOS for the past 41 years.
Right.
Firstly, as somebody who buys kosher, I would like to thank you personally.
You're welcome.
For what you have done.
You're welcome.
So where to from here? Where to from here? You've got all this experience. You have got mashgichim who absolutely adore you. You are a lifeline to many of them. I have spoken to them, by the way.
Okay.
And really, they were quite devastated when it was made known that you were leaving the US.
Look, I've spoken to other kashrut authorities overseas that I'm involved with all the time, and I told them that I'm available to help them out if they need help in any other parts of Africa, which I'm going to do, please God. So, you know, I'm going to use my expertise that I've had, that I've gained, and some of the other authorities are interested, and they will be sending me out to different places.
What do you think kosher consumers should know about kashrut on a wide scale?
I always tell people, number one, first of all, you can never rely on ingredients, but it's very important to know the ingredients. The reason why you can't rely on it is because, first of all, one should get a habit of reading ingredients on what you buy, because first of all, you know what goes into it for your own sake, and also to know of the possible problems that you may come across, because that's the human part of things that happen. But you cannot rely on it all, because now comes the part which they don't know, see, is the production lines, which is our responsibility, our job. So once the consumer reads ingredients, so they become au fait with what goes into a product. And then the next thing is that we take over and to say, listen, this is okay, it's not okay, but they should know what they're eating, what the possible problems can be. And in today's time, the consumers become more and more wiser and alert and finding certain problems, because a lot of problems that come our way is picked up by the consumer. They say, well, I found this, and I was on the shelf, and this doesn't have a Bethel sign, and it was right next to the one that does. So therefore, they themselves are helping us and everybody else in the eating kosher to be able to keep a better standard, because everybody is alert and always looking for things. And so the customer is the best thing that we have, trying to find ways of upgrading and keeping a higher standard and finding problems. There's one more point I want to mention to you is there's something called allergens.
Yes.
Okay. And a lot of people are starting to learn what it is, but what it is because of how companies are now very, very worried that because people are so susceptible to different problems, like people allergic to nuts and other things, that they have to put out a little thing on each product, on a product they sell, allergens. Now people are beginning to realize what it is, but a lot of people don't, because when they read allergens, they think it's because it's just below the ingredients. So then they say, oh, but it contains this, that, and the other, which could be non-kosher, or could be dairy or something like that. So I'm taking time to explain to them what allergens mean. And is that, in other words, for instance, you can have, I'll give you a story what happened to a person who bought from the hypermarket bakery, what is it called? It's a cream donut or something like that. And this person was highly, highly lactose intolerant. And he got such a reaction that he had to be rushed to the hospital to put on adrenaline. So he came coming to complain to me that it's supposed to be part of bakery. So I said, of course it is. So I immediately went to the bakery and I checked all the ingredients, didn't find any problems. Then I bought myself two of those things and I took it to the CSIR for testing. They tested it and gave me in writing that there was no dairy in it. And I gave it to this young man. Now, 2 years later, he went to another Pick and Pay and bought the same thing again and had the same reaction. And then when we went further investigation, we found out that because he was so hypersensitive, that the dairy particles in the air of the shop, even though it was nowhere near the bakery at all, can affect this man. And that's how serious the situation is. So that's why allergens play a major role. So therefore, we try to tell people, look at the allergens and be careful, but it's not in the product. It may be in the same room, in the same floor, but it's not in the product. But you have to be careful because some people have a hypersensitive and they will have these terrible reactions. That's the story of the allergens.
Do you think that kashrut and hygiene should be separate issues?
No, they're one and one. They're both the same. The Torah speaks about the laws of kashrut, but also speaks a lot of hygiene. And they're both together. You can't separate the two.
Some very exciting news that was released this week is that you will be working with Montreal Kosher.
That's wonderful. It's a very high-class kosher authority. In fact, the one who runs it used to be one of the kashrut person here in Johannesburg many, many years ago. And we together helped build up the standard. It'd be a pleasure working with him because we go back a long way, and it's a good organization.
Rabbi Baumgarten, thank you very, very much, and I wish you all the best. I wish you hatzlacha rabba. Thank you so much.
Very, very welcome.
A few weeks ago, while driving home, I came across a number of people gathering in the street. I knew some of them, so I stopped to chat. One of the people told me that the group were all kosher supervisors who had come to the house of Rabbi Yossi Baumgarten to thank and pay tribute to him. The stories of his diligence in his work, his accessibility to kosher supervisors looking for advice and guidance, and his dedication to the community have become the stories of legend. Here's what the Mashgichim had to say.
Rabbi, you personify what it means to be a true Jewish leader. You are Kashrut SA. It's been my personal honor and privilege to be mentored and led by yourself. Your halachic understanding of Kashrut is uncanny. The way you bring it across with your untouchable wit. We're going to miss you, and I can only wish you much hatzlacha for the future.
Rabbi Baumgarten, I'm so happy for you that you are continuing in kashrus and you're going to bring wonderful things to the South African community like you've been doing for the past 40 years. We are so happy for you and wishing you the best of luck always.
Hi Rabbi, mazel tov on your new appointment with the MK Hersher. We can only thank you for your exemplary dedication to the community and kashrut in this country, which you have maintained at the highest level, and we wish you a bahatzlacha for the future.
Rabbi Baumgarten, you're an inspiration to all. The Mashgichim and myself personally have learned so much from you. Your level of kashrut knowledge is worldwide. Thank you for everything you have done for us.
Rabbi Baumgarten, wishing you all the best, Hatzlacha Rabba, in your new endeavor at MK Kosher, Kol Tov, Shmuley Nudelman.
Hi Rabbi B, this is Judy Bundle here. Just want to wish you a huge mazel tov on your new position. They could not have chosen a better person for the job. Also to thank you for being my mentor and my guide over all these years in my personal capacity and in my work capacity. I just wish you all the best. God bless.
Rabbi Baumgarten, Tuvi and Chana Miller, we are absolutely proud to be your students and for you to be our rabbi and mentor. You've taught us everything we know. You have led us along the most wonderful path. May Hashem bless you. Thank you so much for everything.
Hi, Kath. Karen Schneid here from Ulala. Insofar as Rabbi Baumgarten goes, that this is a man that I have the utmost respect for, that I absolutely love and adore, and the times that he comes here, I drop anything. I could be in the middle of a meeting to speak to him. He has a history of food, of technology, of a knowledge that's kind of unsurpassed, and it's very seldom that I, in my self-taught profession, find people that are that knowledgeable. Most amazing person, and sometimes it's also about the person. I mean, I'm not saying where I would be, but I would definitely welcome any form of competition, first of all, for anyone. So I think that that is good. And quite frankly, I would like to be where Rabbi Baumgarten is, because I have found that just such a uplifting experience being involved in it. We've always worked together to make things happen and to go the extra mile. If something, it could be anything that might need a bit more work with whatever it is, and we will go and source it. We will go and make sure that it happens. And I've really so much enjoyed working with him. He is an icon and he is an asset to any business, knowledge of food, etc. So just a dedication to him. So wherever he is, I would love to be a part of that. But just as an absolute clear dedication to that man, given what he has done, I would so love to be wherever he is.
We heard Rabbi Yossi Baumgarten mention that he will be working for MK Global Kosher Certification. If a new Hechsher will be certifying local manufacturers in South Africa, I wanted to find out more. I contacted Rabbi Saul Emanuel, the director of MK Global Kosher Certification. Rabbi Emanuel, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning, Kathy. Nice to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for making the time. Rabbi, Montreal Kosher already kosher certifies food producers or food manufacturers in South Africa. How long have you been certifying local food manufacturers?
We've been certifying local food manufacturers in South Africa since November of 2020, and we also certify close to 1,000 companies, most of them in North America, but we also certify in Israel, Italy, Germany, and other areas in the world. So we're very proud now that we're able also to offer a service to the South African community. We also wish to participate in exports with a globally accepted certification.
You raise exports. Explain how exports work. So a manufacturer here locally wants to export anywhere in the world. Do you assist with that?
So as a certifying agency, we're there to certify the product as kosher. We certainly do assist as much as we can with the knowledge that we have and the contact that we have to put people in contact with exporters and those who are able to assist them. Obviously, we're not involved in the business aspect at all because being a kosher certifier, that's what we do and that's what we're best at doing. But we certainly will try and facilitate and give them all the help that we can in order to make them successful in what they're setting out to do when it comes to exporting of their products.
I've been told by local manufacturers that if they want to export their goods, they have to pay an extra fee to our local kosher certification organization. Do you have the same sort of structure, pricing structure?
The pricing structure that we charge is pretty much across the board, across the world. We charge an annual licensing fee to companies who want to have our kosher certification. Now, that annual licensing fee will take into account the amount of visits that are required at the company throughout the year. Some companies may need more visits, some may need less visits. And based on that and the administration and the inspections, that's how we calculate our fee. It's a one-stop fee. There's nothing extra. The company knows exactly what they're paying at the outset, and that's what they're going to pay for the year.
So just explain this like I'm a five-year-old, please.
If
I have a number of different products and you come to my business, do I pay per product and for inspecting each product?
No, I'm not a partner in your business. We are there to be a kosher certifying body for the business. So if the company, for example, has 30 products or the company has 50 products, they pay the same fee because it's the same inspection that's happening at the facility. As I said, we calculate how many times we've got to go, how many times we've got to visit, the admin, the amount of work, and based on that, we charge. So it's an all-encompassing fee, regardless of how many products you have at the facility.
I'm speaking to Rabbi Saul Emanuel. He's the director of MK Global Kosher Certification. We're talking about kosher certification, and why is it important? As kosher consumers, if factories are paying less for kosher certification, why should we care?
Well, obviously, the saving of a company when it comes to kosher certification or any other saving which they may have certainly may affect the end user. They may get the product cheaper. And if kosher certifying agencies are charging a much higher expense to become kosher, obviously there may be companies who don't want to go kosher. If you're able to offer kosher certification at a price that you're able to have the standard of kosher certification that you want and it's competitive, then number one, you're increasing the range of kosher products that people are able to take benefit from. And at the same time, you're making more products available and perhaps maybe cheaper because the prices that are being charged to the company for kosher certification are being passed on to the consumer.
I took the liberty of speaking to one of the companies that you certify locally. The owner mentioned that he has saved 60% on the fees that he was paying here, which makes sense from a business model point of view. But with a weak rand, is it really viable for MK to invest in South Africa?
Look, being a South African, I appreciate the South African community and I'm very willing to help them. Many people have reached out to us. They want help. They want to have the opportunity of perhaps exporting their products in some cases. And if we were able to cover our expense and add on a little bit of admin to it and it covering our costs, we are very, very happy to do it. And it's working out well. And so far, the companies that we have certified, we're visiting them, we're monitoring them. And yes, they seem to be very happy with the price structure that we have put in place. And yes, we're able to do it even with the rand being 12 to the Canadian dollar. That's exactly what it is, but it's still perfectly fine and it's working out well for everybody.
Rabbi Emanuel, is it true that you helped set up the original Kashrut department of the UOS?
Well, many, many years ago, I worked for the UOS for 10 years. When I first got married, Rabbi Kutztag asked me if I wanted to come and work with the Kashrut department. It was a great honor. I worked directly together with him and the other Dayanim in the Beth Din. And we, it wasn't a new system. There was already an incredible Kashrut system that had been set up. I just came in and continued to work with them. We upgraded, we got recognition internationally and set up systems that became, you know, well known. And I was very, very happy to be part of the team and be able to offer the services to South Africa, to the community, to the consumers. I worked very closely with the Kosher Consumers Organization in those days in South Africa. We had a great team of people and worked together with Kashrut Committee. And it was a great pleasure to be part of that. And then after that, I came overseas and continued to do the same thing overseas in terms of the Kashrut department here.
So how many years ago was that?
I left in 1998, so that's 23 years ago nearly.
Just talking about Kashrut generally, do you believe that there are benefits to consumers having multiple hechsherim?
Well, I think that consumers look out for reliability, accessibility, global acceptance, and having the option of taking products that come with a reliable kosher certification. That's the feedback that we get not only over here in North America, but it's the same feedback we get back from South Africa. People have been very receptive, very happy. There's an option. They want to have a certification, and if they're able to get, it can be any kosher certifier who's reliable, and the certifying and the servicing, I think consumers only benefit.
Well, MK Global Kosher Certification is global, as you said earlier, that you certify in different countries all around the world. How are you going to manage certification here in South Africa?
Well, being South African, that's easier for me to navigate South Africa. The rest of the world I don't know as well as I know South Africa. So being that I know South Africa, I am South African, proudly South African, Miss South Africa, I know the land there pretty well, and knowing that I work with Rabbi Baumgarten, who together for so many years and so closely was an incredible pleasure and an incredible honor, and the fact that we have someone like him joining our team now is going to really help us tremendously. We have someone on the ground, and Rabbi Baumgarten is world-renowned. He knows how to do an inspection. He knows what to look for. You know, offering kosher certification, you can't just have anybody, Kathy, just walking into a company and looking at it. You have to understand equipment. You have to understand steam. You have to understand heat. You have to understand if they're doing dairy, they're doing parav, if they're doing non-kosher. One has to be a professional. One has to understand what one is looking for. One has to understand the complexities of the equipment that you're certifying. Rabbi Baumgarten has been doing this for so many years. His initial inspection reports, if you have to look at them, are incredible and so detailed, and his understanding of equipment in companies is incredible and respected wherever he's been sent, and companies and other kosher organizations use his services too. So there's no better person than him. He's on the ground in South Africa. He knows the lay of the land. He knows the companies. He knows how to speak to companies. He's so friendly. He's so helpful. He always goes the extra mile to do anything for anybody. So you can't get a better fit than him. So for us, that's been an incredible find, and we're so happy to have him joining our team.
You've also employed Rabbi Beryl Roddell. We know him as a community rabbi here. Tell us a little bit more about what he's going to be doing with MK.
So Rabbi Roddell originally came from Italy, where he was doing kosher supervision in Italy as well. So he's not a new person to kashrut. He knows how to do company facilities. And, you know, with the queries that we're getting, one has to have a proper team. And Rabbi Baumgarten won't be able to be at all factories at all times. So Rabbi Baumgarten is going to be the head of our South African region, and he will be there to oversee and check and do the initials of all these companies. But then you have to have ongoing inspections, ongoing inspectors to go there. And Rabbi Roddell is going to fit in right there, working together with Rabbi Baumgarten. They will ensure that we service the companies, we inspect the companies, give them the service they deserve, treat them the way they deserve to be treated, with kindness, with efficiency, with good service, making sure that we answer their needs. So this is a great team to start off with.
When you say working with companies, are these only manufacturers that you will be certifying, or would you look at restaurants, would you look at hotels, would you look at caterers?
So there's two things that it's very important that we mention at the very outset. Nobody is starting a new Beth Din in South Africa. You know, we've gotten calls, is this the beginning of? Absolutely not. We have to support the local establishment. It's important. The Beth Din is incredibly important. The stability of the community is important. And we are talking specifically here about kosher certification for manufacturers. No, we are not getting involved in shechita. We are not getting involved in restaurants. We are not getting involved in butchers. We are not getting involved in homes. We're not getting involved in anything other than manufacturers. That we leave to the locals. They are the experts of what they do locally. We're specifically talking about certifying and kosher certifying manufacturers who seek out our certification. We're not pursuing anybody. We're not going after anybody. If somebody wants us, wants our help, wants our certification, reaches out to us, we are here to help them.
If somebody wants to make an inquiry, how do they get in touch with you?
So mkkosher.co.za.
Oh.
Go to mkkosher.co.za. There's a website for South Africa, and you can go straight to that website, and that will lead you in to the application process. If anybody wants to participate, somebody will reach out to them right away. Our response time is quick. We reach out, we discuss, we engage, and we try and help as much as we can efficiently.
mkkosher.co.za.
Correct.
Rabbi Saul Emanuel, thank you very, very much, and thank you for making time. I wish you and your family a Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much to Rabbi Saul Emanuel from MK Global Kosher Certification. I wanted to get a sense of what you think about another kosher certification authority operating in South Africa. So I took to the streets, and this is what you had to say.
I'm very happy about the new Hefsha. I think in these times where everyone needs to save money, we really need a more cost-effective Hefsha that can help us all that are keeping kosher.
Basically, anything that is going to be more cost-effective, yet producing the same benefits, is, of course, more viable than something that is really not cost-effective. And if this MK certification is going to produce for us, or specifically the suppliers who end up supplying us, the actual benefit of a lower cost, which will obviously translate to the consumer, there is no doubt that it is a very, very worthwhile initiative, and I think it should be instituted. I don't think that there could be a problem when there is a little bit of competition in an area such as this, which really does dictate to all Jewish kosher consumers their bottom line.
I think that this is the most unbelievable topic to be discussed. And I don't only think it could be cost effective to the local manufacturers, I think it could also benefit the local community that would be purchasing the products if they would come in at a cheaper price. Because the price that we are facing at the moment for certain kosher items is exorbitant. So I think this is very exciting.
I think this is a wonderful initiative to have a new organization. I think that competition is healthy, and if we can get products, if we can get more products and much cheaper, then how wonderful for the Jewish community, for the kosher consumer. So well done to all the people who initiated this and organized it.
Very excited to hear about the MK Kosher and Rabbi Baumgarten joining Saul Emanuel once again, as they were all those years ago. We know that the standard of kashrut is going to stay the same here and possibly get better, not better, get more opportunities, more ingredients on the line.
I'm actually very excited to hear about this new certification organization, especially if it is cost effective. It will help us all, and certainly it will help our local manufacturers.
It's a good idea. It's a long time in coming. It will give the best din a lot of competition, which is sorely needed, or has been sorely needed. And also by doing so, it will give the consumer a choice and will lower the prices so that hopefully it will make it more affordable to keep kosher. The prices have skyrocketed. I just really think that it's about time there was competition in South Africa, and to give the best din a little bit of a wake-up call to know that they are not the only ones that can have sole rights to all the prices, the mashgiach costs, and just determining what everything should cost and how everything should be run. Seriously, I'm really pleased to hear it.
I think that the new kashrut certification, this MK from Canada, is one of the best things that could have happened, both for our community and also for local manufacturers. I'm not saying the more the merrier. I don't think that's always necessarily the case. I think the fact that they have Rabbi Baumgarten on board and Rabbi Roddle is fantastic. I think it just adds to the gravitas that they have. I think for people who may have been concerned, I think it just adds to the weight that they hold. And I think that it may be food for thought for organizations or certain local organizations who may think that they have complete control. That is no longer the case. And I think it's a good thing.
In conclusion, the UOS announced last week that they have amalgamated with the OU Kosher certification. The spin on the press release was almost celebratory. The truth is that the UOS has had to amalgamate with another Hechsher because the BD stamp has lost a lot of credibility with other kashrut organizations. If it hadn't, the UOS wouldn't need to amalgamate with anyone. Their stamp of approval would be enough. This amalgamation means that for many of the BD certified products, there will be two certifications. It's lovely, right? Actually, it's not lovely at all. It's expensive. Each time a product is kosher certified, there is a fee. And you and I will end up paying for it. MK seems to have a reasonable and sustainable pricing model. Maybe they don't have to fund expensive leadership through kashrut and unknowing kosher consumers. But that is another conversation. I wish you and yours a Shabbat Shalom, dear friends. I am Kathy Kaler, and this is Community in Conversation on 101.9 Chai FM.
It's a Community in Conversation. Join Kathy Kaler every Friday at 9 a.m. for Community in Conversation. Be brave enough to start a conversation that matters. Right here on 101.9 Chai FM.